Well, let's begin. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. I will awaken quickly for the sake of all sentient beings. And compassion for all beings. Always remembering for oneself too. That's good. Om mani padme hum. So, any comments, questions, answers, suggestions? I'm just kidding. That's a very familiar looking rosary. Bone from Burma.
Hilde brought it for me from Tibet.
From Tibet?
Yes.
Yeah. From Tibet. Yeah, beautiful.
Mm,
lovely. Good. So anything you'd like to ask before I start into the third? Finger was first. Yes.
Well, it is only a side aspect what you mentioned yesterday, but for me it was not really clear what you meant. You said we could never be in the present.
Uh-huh.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you say that?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really get that. What you mean, we were never in the present.
Good, good, good. Good. Well, if you consider it, what is now? What actually is now? Can you actually be right here, right now? What is the experience of now? And that's what I want you to look at. So I challenge you to see whether you can actually be present. You can be present. It turns out you cannot be, but it's okay. The very act of experiencing now is already finished. It's already gone. It's finished. But the illusion is it's present. It is important to practice being here now. That's important to do. But it's also important to realize that in no way can you experience directly what is. It's a memory. And we know from neurophysiology that there is a delay. There's a delay. The brain does not experience. Right now, it is constructed so that you feel you're hearing me right now. You don't. It's delayed. It's a construction of presence. And you need to experience that meditation. That it's a construction. It's made up. It's quite fantastic that the brain can do that. It can create a reality that feels right now. In fact, it's not. This is what I mean. Also to challenge, it's very important to challenge what is constantly taught. And for instance, a lot of people practice mindfulness. They think they're being mindful. But what's being mindful? And so often I find that when I listen to people, they're not being mindful, they're being, what's the word, robotic. You know robotic? Robotic. You move the foot, but there's nothing happening anymore. It's just, they're not even present. It's like an act of doing something as if the doing something is important. It's not fresh. It's not fresh, 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 fresh. So my real question is, how fresh is the experience? Or is the experience made up of memory? Do you remember putting your foot down, or did you really put your foot down? Do you know you put the foot down? Do you know that you moved your hand, or is it memory of the hand moving? This is important. And this you can do through meditation. You can catch it. Or you see or you hear and you go, I wasn't hearing. I was making up a story, making up a fiction. Not you. That's the way it works. So, it's good. And it's important that you say, well, what did you mean by that? That's good. Yes?
Is that, referring to that answer, is that what was meant by, I found you, O Builder?
What is
O Builder? Builder, and you see it, the mechanism happening, making up the story.
Yeah. This refers very much to karma. The builder is karma. And the karma is the intention mind that builds a story or builds an action. So, for instance, very simple. Normally you think, how do I put this? It's very, very simple. I pick up the cup. But before the cup is picked up, there is an intention, there's a movement in the mind that most beings don't know happens. Did you understand? There's a movement, a feeling in the mind to pick up the cup. What makes that? So, for instance, this house was built, yes? And you say, well, the house was built. No, the house was built by mind. It's a construct of mind. It's a construct of a mind that plans and thinks, and then it manifests. It makes sense? And then it comes into being. Most people don't think that way. Stove... Or this, how did this happen? Mm-hmm. All mental construct of intention mind. Do you know what I mean by intention mind? Mm-hmm. Intent. Desire to have something. And desire to have something builds the universe of experience. So this is built like a house. Just like a house is built by mind having a story about how things should be. Just like our faces and our bodies are built not just by genetics. They're built by stories. How you look and how you feel and how you present to the world and to yourself is built by intention mind called karma. This is karma. It means activity of the mind builds. How my hand is doing this? Where did that come from? Whose mind built that motion? Or if I was born in maybe another country, it would be like this, you know? So we have houses and we have shrines and, you know, that's all mind. It's all built by intention mind, by conditioning, conditioning, conditioning. We normally don't think that way. We walk in a room, oh, look. Oh, look. Oh, look. Not only was this built by mind, somebody's mind, and somebody chose this, right? Somebody had to choose this, and someone decided to put this up here. See? And your experience of the room is only what you can see by conditioning. Mm-hmm. Only. Some people, you know, if you ask them maybe 2 days later, what was up here, they go, I don't know. Never saw it. Or maybe some people say, ah, this picture was over here and this picture was over there. Never saw it. Because the building of that consciousness is like a house. It's different. The activity is different. I have found you, O builder, I have found that which builds the illusion. It will build the illusion no more. It cannot build anymore. That's called clinging, attachment. Build it by attachment, by attachment, by attachment. Blind building. It's the blind building that's the problem, not the building. It's the blind. You know what I mean by that? The blind building is the problem. Not knowing there's an illusion. That's the problem. Not knowing that mind actually builds. People feel that things just happen. Do you know what I mean by that? They just happen to you? Why did this happen? Because of mind. Because of activity. Karma. And it prints itself out. Look at this house. This house is a reflection of minds. It is not a real house. In that sense, it is a reflection of your minds and reflections of the minds that built this house.
What about nature and the universe?
It too is considered to be mind. Yeah. And how you experience the universe is, if you can, if let's because I don't, this takes us away a little bit, a little bit, takes us away from getting through this material, but this is very interesting and very important. If you think about it right now, if you look out here and you see this scene, think about what a duck sees. What does a duck in the water actually see? We don't know. Nobody knows how a bird really sees. Interesting, eh? Birds see differently than we do. An ant sees differently. A deer sees differently. A hippopotamus is going to see differently. Every single person in this room sees this differently, but feels everybody else, as a human, sees it the same way. They do not. And if you really, really slow down and experience how cognition works, you will see that when you turn your head, watch, you should try this, but you have to really slow down. You turn your head, there's no scene, there's nothing there until it arises. It has to be created in the mind. It's so fast, like that, but you have to catch it. Nothing there, and then it's there. It has to be created in the mind. It's not really out there. Now, if you put your hand out there and you feel the earth, there's something. But it's almost so vast and indescribable. It has to be described by mind. So it gets built up like a creation in the mind. This is easy. Watch. This is so easy to practice insight. Take the finger. I do this all the time. So maybe there's a new group, so I can do it. Oh, it's good. It's fun. Okay. But you can put your finger on the carpet like this. Just put your finger on the carpet very slowly. And you tell me what you feel. Just tell me what you feel directly. What is it? What is it? Okay, so we have one answer. Cloth?
Is it? Bumps.
Bumps, okay. So we have cloth, bumps, waves.
Rough surface.
Soft surface.
Cool.
You feel the skin? Okay, you feel the skin? Okay. Soft, cool.
Only touching.
What is it? Do you know what it is? Use your eyes now. Take a look. Carpet, yes? Close your eyes. What is it? Do you really know what it is? You have no way of knowing what it is. It's all by concept. This is how fast it is, you see? Insight. The rest is all story. Soft, hot, cold. You know cold? Cold and hot? Other day I was sick with some flu. When I came back to Canada from the plane, I was cold. Everything was cold, even though the house was warm. It was all cold. You can get a virus, you can get a bacteria from fish, from a reef, coral reef, called Secretaria, poisoning. And your body, hot and cold, is completely destroyed. You cannot any more discern hot and cold. It gets very difficult. Do you see what I'm getting at? All these are names, nama, names, naming. We don't know anymore that the whole universe for us is named, is a concept. So you touch and you go, wood. There is no wood. It's simply touch, sensation. All the rest is made up by the mind. Wood. Do you follow? Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that it's in relative terms, it's okay. But if you don't know that, you go around the universe labeling and naming, thinking it's the way it is, but it always hurts because it has no basis in reality. Truly. Now, the eyes are very hard, very tricky. This is why insight meditation, except for Dzogchen Mahamudra, do not use the eyes. Okay? The eyes are too hard to use. Why? Because we use our eyes all the time and they fool us. And the processing is very quick in the eyes. So it's very hard to use the eyes for insight. Much better to use touch. Touch is fast. Eyes is much more, I wouldn't say advanced, but more difficult. Because we are so habituated to seeing as being real. If I see it, I believe it. Yes, you know that expression? Show it to me. If I hear it, I don't really believe it. If I touch it, I don't really believe it. But if I see it, okay, now it's real. The eyes are very tricky. They're very, very devious, the eyes, because the processing speed is very quick and the brain is so entranced, is so connected to seeing. We're such seeing beings. Yeah, look. No hearing aid yet. Yeah, but we're wired for seeing. So we believe everything we see. It's not true. So seeing is harder to cut through, until it starts falling apart. So as you slow down and the cognition, the knowing process slows down, the seeing will fall apart. Beautifully. It will start to actually come apart. Maybe you look at somebody, look at Simon, and one day you notice there's no head. But there's a body, but you can't see the face. Or here's an easy one. Normally, when we look at people, we instantly have face recognition. We have cells, cells that are only designed to remember and focus on faces, patterns in faces. See? When you slow down in meditation, you may find that you cannot recognize faces. The face cells get knocked out. So you look at people and go, there's no recognition. Or you look at a car, we have car recognition cells. You know that? We do. We have car recognition cells. Some scientists believe that there is Toyota recognition cells, really. Ferrari recognition cells. It's true. They grow. So, shapes. Yeah, we used to practice this. In Europe a lot, we used to practice car recognition all the time to learn how to do this. So we could see the bumper and go, Volvo, just from the bumper shape. And those are cells that pick that up. And we'd have a competition to see who could win the most in 1 hour, right? So we go, okay, now we're going to do Mercedes. Now we're going to do Volvos. Now we're going, and it's amazing how fast you can get. You just see the tire go by, Volvo. The muffler go by, Volvo. And then eventually you go, Passat, right? Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. You just train that way. And eventually, those are the cells picking that up. When those cells fall away, you can't even see a car. The car's not there. Now, you've probably experienced this, yes? Where you look at something and you don't see it, right? You hear it, but you don't hear it. Even though you're hearing it, your consciousness cannot experience it. It's interesting. So what are you experiencing? Very important. What actually are you experiencing? It is a constructed reality. And it's very important to... So much of insight meditation is to experience the breaking up of a house that has no reality. This is not a negative thing, it's a beautiful thing. It's freedom. Is it making sense? It makes sense. The experience of now feels very solid. It is not solid. It is imagined. It's imagination. This is the I have found ye, O builder. It's imagination. It's a fantasy. You don't have to, what's the word? I have to watch the English idioms, like idiots. English idioms. You don't have to buy or purchase a certain reality. I'll give you an example. If you go to a movie theater, does anybody ever go to a movie theater still? Go to a movie? Okay, go to a movie. Do you have to stay in the movie? Can you go leave? Have you ever left a movie? Why? You didn't like it. You can always leave a movie, you know. There's always a door. Some people don't know that. They don't know there's a door. And a lot of people don't know there's a screen. And they don't know that there's actually a film and a light bulb. Or now it's digital, a hard disk. They don't know. It's so the word I like to use is bewilderment. I don't know what it is in German or Swiss German. Bewilderment. To be bewildered is a beautiful English word. Or bewitched. Bewitched. I don't know what... I have to get my dictionary out. To be bewitched, like you are in a magician show, like a magician, and it feels so real. So you hold the glass out here, but you go, look, rosary. Meanwhile, the glass, you never see the glasses. Oh, look, rosary. This is special rosary. You never see the glasses. Mm-hmm. Ever. They're right here. Mm-hmm. No one ever sees the glasses because the attention is here. And then I go like this. Wow. How did that happen? Because we see very, very little, and we hear and touch and see very little of our environment. Only a tiny fraction. All the rest is filled in by memory.
Verwirren, irre machen, Verwirrung, Gewaltungen, Verwirrung.
Thank you. Yeah. This is not bad, it just is fact. You know, fact? Reality. And it hurts. If you don't know it, it hurts a lot. It hurts, it just hurts. Like, for instance, emotions is a good one. Everybody wants to know about emotions all the time. Emotions. What about my emotions? It hurts. Because emotions feel real, but they're not. It's a physical sensation and a mental story. If you go take a look at it really closely, it falls apart into a physical experience and a story. It will break apart. So when we speak about insight, vipassana, very important to understand that we are really talking about breaking up in a good way. We want to see things as they are by allowing them to fall apart, allowing them to open up. Give me an example, a house. Many people have never... Who's here built a house? Built a house? Okay, built a house. So, if you build a house, you see a house very differently. You see, when you look at a house, you sometimes can go, you're like your x-ray vision, you can see all the posts and the where the wires are and the plumbing, and a house doesn't look like a house anymore. If you're a builder and you build houses, you see a house very differently. Very, very differently, or an architect. You see? It only appears that way because that is the conditioning to your mind, including the most difficult clinging. What is the most difficult clinging for most people? Body. My body is one of the most difficult clingings. I have my special body. This is my body. This is the way I am. What's the next one? Sometimes this is more important. Because we have different kinds of people. My emotions are how I am. The life of me is an emotional life. Others? Thinkers. You can look around the room, you see them. They're thinkers. Not emotion types, they're thinkers. I am because I think. That defines them. Others about their body. Others about their emotions. Others about their thinking. You see? And that's the identity. The clinging is very, very tight around these things. So we need to see what they are. Do you see what I mean? You need to see clearly. Not intellectually. You need over and over, what is this experience of body? What is this experience of emotion? What is this experience of feeling? 100,000 times. What is there? Nothing. It's made up in the mind. Eventually you rub your finger, you'll feel nothing at all. You'll realize it is mental activity. Just story. Fantastic, eh? So liberation is not negative, it's positive. But you have to take away the stories first. So the process of liberation is removal of the fantasy story to see cognition, experience, as it is, stripped away. Stripped away, stripped away. Otherwise, it hurts because you think that, as Namjoon Rinpoche would say, they think emotions are real. I said, yes, sir, they do. No, yes, they do. They think they're real. Not. Just as you think the body is real, the body is a mental construct. How you feel right now, how do you feel right now about you is a mental construct. Most people do not know that. Do you know what I mean? It hurts so badly because they keep thinking that what they feel like is real and solid and who they are. It simply is not. As a matter of fact, it doesn't take too much meditation to experience that at all. This morning, when you were crawling around, if you're really aware, you see that your view of you is changing. It cannot stay the same. The map keeps shifting. Mm-hmm. Eventually, you experience it very differently. Very differently. So, Teresa, that world, the universe, is built by mind. Desire to have experience, desire to be, do you know? To be something, anything. Human beings will build for anything. They want to be something. Something. Therefore, they build. And they build in their mind something very, very, very real, which has no ultimate validity, but can be very beautiful. You see, you have to be careful you don't get negative. This is very important. This is not a negative teaching. It's a positive teaching. The more there is freedom, the more there is life. Make sense? The more there is breaking apart, the more energy, the more life, the more clarity of mind, the more bliss. And a matter of fact, the more compassion. The greater the freedom, the greater the compassion. Not negativity, not... It's an illusion. It's bad. This is wrong. This is a mind that has gone weird, astray. It's actually more and more beautiful. It's amazing. The universe is amazing. But you have to take the story away, not fantasize.
Can I come from an experience of hearing?
Yes.
Sitting by the lake yesterday, there are some wonderful noises around here, beautiful noises.
We don't care about beautiful or not beautiful. They just rise and fall. They're just hearing.
Okay. But the interesting thing is that the response to certain sounds happens almost before you know you've heard the sound and before you put a form to it. So like there's actually a call of a moorhen, which is kind of like that. And it kind of kicks you in the stomach before you've almost registered the sound. So is that a construct? Because if so, it's incredibly fast.
It's a construct. And it's very fast. So now what you're doing is you're experimenting. This is good. You're experimenting with cognition. How does the cognitive process actually go through the nervous system, and what happens first? That's what you have to do. And slow it down deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. You watch the entire process of cognition. There is no moorhen. There's no moorhen. There's simply sound impinging upon body. All the rest is constructed. It's the sequence. You have to start to go and experience the sequence with each sense. How's that? It's good. I don't want to get too much into that. Just again, that's an entire course, entire study of insight is the entire cognitive process. But you but it has to be done by direct experience. That's good. Any other questions? They're good. They're all good questions. So you see, it really have to. You know, I say the same message when I come and teach everywhere I go. Deep retreats are important. I don't know how you're going to do it, except you have to decide. The ability to do a deep retreat, I mean deep, silent, deep retreat work is fundamental. Nobody I know, except maybe Namgyal Rinpoche, who is unusual. There's very few. Did not have to do a lot of deep retreat work. All the famous teachers, all the yogis, everybody I know who teaches, including myself, has had to do enough deep retreat work to make it definitive. Each of us is different, how much we need to do. And as a matter of fact, even if we do a lot, for greater and greater liberation and compassion, we need to do more. There's some teachers who are very, very advanced who just stop teaching and go into retreat for 10 years, 15 years. Why? Because they know how much there is to explore, and it is for compassion. Because the greater your understanding of reality and insight, wisdom, the greater your capacity to teach. It's true. The greater you can then liberate because you know what's in the way and what causes suffering. See, this is where wisdom and compassion come together. The greater the insight, the greater the wisdom to see what causes suffering, then the greater the compassion, because you know what's in the way, what's stopping people from waking up. Making sense? However, the difficulty is developing the skill to do that. That's why we practice tantric meditations, is the skill. A pedagogy. Pedagogy. Yeah, the ability to step by step by step by step help a person to remove the bewilderment, the blindness, step by step. Because people don't want to do it. No, I don't want to do it. Fear, anxiety, uncomfortable, let me just be. Okay. So it's a matter of skill, and as the experience deepens, as the wisdom deepens, the vipassana deepens, if it's combined with skill, then it's for the ability to bring, for compassion, not just for yourself. This is why you practice. Could you say, right now, entire course, practice non-clinging. Stop clinging. It'll work. Very difficult to do. Very, very difficult. So you have to give step by step by step by step. Maybe 1 in 10 million people who sit in a room, they just hear, stop clinging. And they go, got it. 1 in 10 million maybe. That's it. The Buddha did that. The first teaching the Buddha gave, the first teaching, the turning, setting forth the wheel, the Dhamma Chakkappavattana Sutta, the first teaching he ever gave after his enlightenment, one of his students, of 5, woke up. Verbally, he just described, he said, this is what it is, and they got it, like that. Others took a little longer, but not much. But they were great yogis. They were good practicing yogis. They had done a lot of work. They just heard it. Wow. Done. So hearing is very important, you know. Hearing again and again and again is very important. And practice, 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 practice. Any other questions? These are good. This week, I know some of you are going, but this week, we spend more time on this. Oh well. Oh, thank you. It's fresh. It's not 10 years old. It's sacred, you know. It's sacred. I think I'll use that one. Okay. Now, the third tetrad, number 9. Experiencing the mind, I shall breathe in. Thus he trains himself. Experiencing the mind. Now you see, this has to do with builder too. Because the word karma is an interesting word. Kama in Sanskrit. Kama is activity, but it's activity of the mind. And also is the same word, is the same equivalence to the word, this is all Pali, chetana, C-E-T-A-N-A, C-E-T-A-N-A, chetana, which means volition. I don't know that in German, volition? Volition?
Intention.
Intention? Volition? Okay. When we come to the teaching of Southeast Asian insight as taught by the Buddha historically, the word mind, you see, it gets confusing because some of you have studied Mahamudra Dzogchen. So when you study, when you see the word mind here, they mean karmic mind, not big mind, not ultimate mind. They mean a mind that always has an object. The mind that needs an object, needs something, something, object, 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 object. Not the big mind of freedom, of primordial reality. So, the thing to do is you want to experience the mind or consciousness, citta, C-I-T-T-A, citta, which desires an object, must have an object. And you see, when you practice meditation, have you had this? This feeling of having to have something. This is important. This is suffering. This is good. I like this. People say, oh, I'm distracted. Good. I see, I'm a strange teacher. I don't know where I got this from. But anyways, the person says, I'm distracted. My mind is busy. Why? What's it want? I don't know. You have to find out. What is it you want? Something. Anything. See, eventually you do enough meditation, you realize all the mind wants is something. And it doesn't even care what it is. It thinks it does, but eventually you realize it doesn't even care what it is. It just needs something, an object. Some kind of object to build. Yes?
It needs the need of a reference point, like it also could be still mind, having still mind.
Exactly.
So the surety of the reference point
is very good. Very good. Is something, and what is that reference point? What is the reference point? So you see, this is good. The mind needs something. It must have an object to hold on to. Take away the holding, where's the reference point? So you have to ask, why does it need a reference point so badly, so strongly? And this comes down to self. Self, self. Me, me, me.
Security
of me. You must have me in there. I sometimes, you know, I joke and say, if you speak about insight meditation, I would say, what about me? Some people, you know, speak about me. What about me? So there is a, you know the word scream? Screaming? Scream.
Shrine.
Ah! Me wants something. Something. Give me something. The desire mind. is karma. Karma wants something badly. And what happens when you don't get it?
Frustration.
Frustration, irritation, anger, despair. You know despair? Despair, beautiful word. Despair. Very uncomfortable. Yeah, despair. Oh. In Pali, viapada. In Pali, viapada. Despair over not having something that satisfies the self experience. The food, the person, the place, the meditation, the experience is uncomfortable. And then it's comfortable. Uncomfortable, comfortable. Comfortable, uncomfortable. Comfortable. What's it? Why? Simply to do with the building, the house. The house is not comfortable. Hot, cold. Nice, not nice. All day long. Not comfortable. Comfortable? Not comfortable. Do you see? You have to feel this. So normally during the day, you are distracted. Person is distracted enough to bury, to hide the uncomfortability. Correct? You have to feel this. This is the day. The day is distraction to not feel uncomfortable. The tourist, you know the tourist? Mm-hmm. All day is the tourist. Even at work, you are the tourist, right? All day long to be distracted so you don't feel uncomfortable. Now what happens in meditation? Why do people not want to meditate? Because they know they're going to be uncomfortable. In 30 minutes or 40 minutes or 1 hour, it's going to get uncomfortable. Why? The excuse, you know the normal excuse is, oh, my leg hurts. Oh, my neck is not. But what, listen to it. Listen to the story. It's not for me. Listen. Listen to it. This isn't for me. It's not what I want. It can happen like this. You don't even know the story. It's so quick. Not for me. I want something stronger. Always stronger. Or it's not the right object for me. Give me the right object. This is the person that comes for a new meditation every day. Never satisfied. Give me a new meditation. Sure. Manjusri. Next day. It's not really working for me. Ah, thousand arm chin raising. It's not really working for me. The complicated type, yes. Usually very complicated. But it's true. Give me something that is for me, that does it for me. You know, you hear now many people that, boring. Do you get that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, boring. It's boring. That means I'm not satisfied. It's all about satisfaction. Addiction to what? Desire. Addiction to bliss. Addiction to happiness. So you have to feel that. That's a good thing. Insight meditation is not to ignore that. Insight meditation is to feel it directly and not move. And it's going to shake. I want something better. Look, there's ducks. Those are fascinating ducks. Oh yeah, I'm meditating. Boring. Wow. I wonder what town is that? What maybe they're doing something fun over there. Boring. And then you feel good because the concentration is there? Oh, this is great meditation. I love this. 20 minutes later, boring. This is how it is. But you see, if you don't practice, if you don't know this, then you're practicing to stay in the state where the self is maintained. The self, it's for how do I feel? The other way is insight. Feel it. Experience it. Go right through it. Feel the body going, oh, I just don't want to be here. I want to be somewhere else. Feel that. That is called dukkha. D-U-K-K-H-A. Dukkha. It doesn't feel comfortable. This is so important. That's insight. One of aspects of insight. Eventually, it stops. You let go. It just stops. It snaps. You know snap? Snap. Like this. It breaks up. What is the mind clinging to? A story. That's all. It just needs a story. When it falls apart, don't need anything. It's just open. Anything is interesting. The mind is interesting. Even no thought is beautiful. It's just beautiful. So all about self. Self, 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 self. Self, 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 self. Reference point. Reference point. Reference point. Reference point. What is the best reference point for me right now to feel no anxiety? That's all.
When you're in meditation and this boring or uncomfortable thing comes, and like the body wants to move, like shake, not look around,
yep.
Like or the voice wants to come, keep it down.
Yeah, don't move. Just watch it. Just experience it. Just let it do its thing. It can be very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you've all experienced this. Very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. It can be really, really painful. As the body goes through, like addict, you know, like a heroin addict, we say cold turkey. You have expression, cold turkey? You know, the drug has to come off, and it's very painful. So you shake, you sweat, you cry, you twitch. Really, literally, the body will go through changes because it's so addicted to, like a person with a cell phone, always having to go, did someone phone? Did someone phone? Did someone phone? Or email? Did someone have an email? But that's happening like this, not like your email's coming through. It's happening every 100th of a second. Do you follow what I'm saying? Every 100th of a second, the mind is feeling the same way like checking messages on a cell phone. Did they phone me? Did he phone me? Did she phone me? Did you see? So you have to be unmoved and let the body go through. Let it just go through. Not emote. Not, that doesn't do anything. That hides it. You don't want to hide it. You want to let it liberate. Let it liberate. Just let it liberate. Do you see? Let it go through. Let it go through. Don't react. Let it go through. It's just physical sensation. Physical sensation. And then the mental stuff will come. Believe me. Because it's very deep. The addiction is very deep. You have to just learn. So you train in meditation to be unmoved. Stand unmoved. Walk unmoved. Sit unmoved. This is why we do so much training. It's so the body and the mind can let go. Like a snap. Let go. And then it's amazing. It's called liberation. It just opens. Freedom. But you have to just be patient. Make sense? It just makes sense, you know. Otherwise, you're always running away. Do you know what I mean? Running away. And even people in meditation have the most amazing ways of running away. It is amazing. The craftiness, you know, the cleverness of the mind, to run away and hide for another day. In theory, you could just go into a room and just be. And all would liberate. But you have to have very clear mind and very good mindfulness to stay with all the changes in breath and breathing, changes, to let go. And eventually, in theory, 7 days. This is the tradition. 7 days. Let go. It has to just let go. And sometimes it is not difficult. It's blissful. See, the blissful is the same thing. People think everything about meditation is towards bliss and happiness, but not an insight. Because then you're clinging to happiness. You cling to unhappiness, you cling to happiness. You cling to unhappiness, you cling to happiness. You want to come out of clinging. So, number 9, you have to experience the mind. That's insight. You have to get real. Instead of looking at Germany, you know, instead of looking at Germany, maybe it's better over there. Do you think the Swiss do that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, all the time, eh?
Only if it's bad here.
Oh, bad here, yeah. They always look and go, oh, this must be better. It must be better.
Pardon? They go shopping.
They go shopping in Constance. It's cheaper in Constance.
Well, since yesterday, I know that Constance is actually better than Zurich.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, much better. Yeah, always. But you see, here's the difference of insight. Look how beautiful it is in Germany. Or Germans, they look around, wow, it's so beautiful in Switzerland, you know? And look at the trees, and look at the water, it's so beautiful, and the colors. You see, insight is this. Look at the mind. That is what's making the experience. The mind makes the experience. So insight is looking at the mind, building the experience. This is the difference. Do you all get this? This takes training. Because the habit, the addiction, is you look and go, ah, watch, Chenrezig, Manjushri, oh, nice painting, right? Look at peonies. I wonder if they have a smell. Oh, yeah, beautiful, wonderful. That is tranquil, it's loving kindness, correct? Is good. You need that first. And then you need to go. You look at the mind, awareness. You experience the awareness of it, not the story. This is neither beautiful. Do you think for an ant this is beautiful? It's not beautiful. It's neither beautiful nor not beautiful. Only a human being says beautiful. It's not beautiful nor not beautiful. It is beautiful, but it isn't. It is the mind reflecting an object in the mind. Otherwise, you will spend your life going, oh, Chenrezig, I like. No, it's just story. It is beautiful. That is a beautiful tanka. But it is the mind. That's all. So you need both. So you see, you need to have both at the same time. This is the most difficult. This takes training and takes, we call guru yoga. Because it's very difficult to do. To be able to hold both at the same time. The beauty of the world. And that it is not true, that it is completely without clinging and open. At the same time, naturally, is the high practice. Because the consciousness wants to go one way or the other. Either you get rid of everything, right? Like say, Hinayana, everything goes out. It's all bad. It's all dukkha. It's all illusion. Right? Easy. And then it becomes intellectual liberation, intellectual nirvana, clinging to nothing, clinging to freedom. And then what happens is the world of relative experience disappears, which you need. But you have to have both. Otherwise, you now are clinging to one or you're clinging to the other. You want no clinging. No clinging means you can be in both worlds at the same time easily with no problem at all. Unless you've got students. And then you have to go back and forwards to wear the student out. You know, rub them out. Teachers rub the student out. They just kind of wear them out. Oh, that tonka is so beautiful. I don't see a tonka. Where? Show me. Then they say, I don't see a tonka. Oh, it's so beautiful. Look at that tonka. Look at the painting. Can't you see? Or, oh, this coffee, it is so good. Mmm. Exquisite. It's just taste. All coffee tastes the same, by the way. You know that? All coffee tastes exactly the same. It's all constructed in the mind. But can you do both at the same time? Do both and know when to you one or the other is more appropriate for help, for compassion. Otherwise, you're always, ah, oh, the coffee is so, or the wine, you know, or whatever. No. It's all the same. Wine, coffee, tea, cigars, cigarettes, all taste the same. It's all mind. All stories. It's all stories. You know, it's a very funny story. I like the story. You maybe some of you are older and some are too young, but anyways. 1960s in the United States at Harvard University, there was a man by the name of, you know, Richard Alpert? Ram Dass. You heard Ram Dass?
Yes.
Ram Dass. Yeah, Richard Alpert. And he was a psychologist at Harvard University. And they were taking drugs, LSD. You know, LSD, they were trying, all these kinds of things, 1960s. And it was really cool. Anyways, so he goes over to India to find a great teacher, find a guru. Yeah, it's wonderful. I heard his tape. When he first came back from India, I heard his tape, maybe 1973, called Be Here Now. You ever see the book? No, very famous book, Be Here Now. But it was on tape, tape recorder. So he's talking. So he goes and he finds... He is now Ram Dass, but he still has LSD, you know, pills of LSD, tabs, I guess. So he's got them with him in India, and he's practicing yoga, and he's with his guru. His guru is amazing, you know. So he says to his guru one day, okay, you teach me yoga, I'm going to teach you what I know. Guru says, sure. What is it? He says, I have these magic pills, LSD. Oh, okay, LSD, yes. What is LSD? Oh, well, you know, LSD is lysergic acid dihydride. Yeah, I think so. Anyways, lysergic acid dihydride, something like that. Oh, okay. So this beautiful man, you know, he's sitting there. And gives him two, not just one, gives him two. So he has the full experience. Gives him two tabs. I don't know, I've never taken, so maybe that's big. Okay. So he gives him two tabs. This will be really good. My guru, he'll like this. So the guru sits there, he takes the two pills. No, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Nothing happens. Completely nothing happens. What's happening? Nothing. What's happening? Nothing. So you're having, visions?
A good trip?
No? Nothing's changed? Are you happy? Yes. It's a wonderful thing to listen to, right? And it blows his mind. Yeah. It completely blows. How can this even be? You see? How can this be? One taste. One taste. Coffee tastes the same as tea. So when you experience coffee, you will see there's no coffee flavor. Sorry, Jamie. There's no coffee flavor. There is blueberry, cigar, cigarette, tar, shoes, oranges, lemons, chocolate, caramel, a camel, sometimes, if it's foul. There is flowers, a rose sometimes, you see? There is no coffee flavor, no such thing truly as coffee flavor.
There's not even rose.
There's no, then you go, there's not even rose. Because if you have great nose and great taste, you see the rose is made up of different things, all constructed in the mind. Mm-hmm. So you can have the beautiful coffee at the same time there's no coffee. Do you see? Mm-hmm. At the same time. If you go one way, you've made a mistake. You go the other way, you've strayed the other way. This is the most difficult, because you need great freedom. You need a lot of real freedom to do this, to have both feet at the same time. Both feet. So you see, when it comes to the fierce, these are peaceful. If you look back at the Chenrezig, you see the one, the ones on the bottom, you have Vajrapani, is that? No. Maybe Mahakala, it looks like Vajrapani, and maybe Hayagriva, I'm not sure. I have to look carefully. But if you look, you see that there are bodies underneath the feet on the blue one. Looks like Vajrapani. On the blue one, you see there's two bodies underneath the feet? That's what that represents. It means that both feet are in, one is in samsara, one is in nirvana, at the same time. Full liberation. Full liberation, no taking sides, can be both places at the same time. It's very difficult. Why? Because usually you need someone to help you with that. It's very, very hard to do by yourself. Very difficult. Someone needs to help you, show you, show you, show you, show you. Okay, so where are we? So you see, a number 9 is we need to find out what this mind that needs an object, has to be with an object all the time, actually is. And to do this, we need a very clear mind that is sharp and clear and open to look. Not... What was that? Bird? No. It needs to focus. Right in. What is this experience called consciousness with object? So when you experience the sound of the moorhen, you want to come closer and closer and ask, what is the object? What is the? When does it happen? Get closer and closer and closer and closer and closer. This is it. So number 9 is you have experiencing means complete one-pointed concentration. No distraction. Ekagata in Pali. Ekagata. If it is jhana, absorption, then there is no thought. It is purely the experience of the object. Mm-hmm. Not even any bliss anymore. Mm-hmm. Even bliss is gone. Just pure concentration. Mind of pure concentration. Yes?
With concentration, that can give you a kind of tightening up.
Yes. Then you have to learn to loosen. If it gets too tight, loosen. You see, if you follow this, is the process of jhana, process of mental concentration and absorption. It is tight, but it's open. So just a matter of practicing. If it gets too tight, then you know it's not on. But what happens is, as it goes deeply into absorption, only thing is the object. So you cannot practice insight meditation that way. But it's a good training. Watch. Only thing is this experience of yellow for 1 hour. No thought, just the beauty, just there's nothing but yellow. that is not, you cannot practice insight meditation. But the mind is so clear when you come out, now is good for insight meditation. Because the mind is stable. You follow? So this practice, as you follow the way the Buddha taught it, is to practice absorption and have the mind so clear that it can then, on each tetrad, it can then experience the qualities of insight. Now, I'm going to have to explain that again, so I need to take some time. Because if I don't, it's going to be confusing. Okay? If you turn to this booklet, all of insight, Vipassana, if you look on page 5, at the top, it says three signs of insight, of Vipassana. All insight is to do with three different qualities, three experiences of the way things are. Anicca, one, dukkha, and anatta. There are no signs. You're not going to see anything. Okay? There's nothing to see. But they are what liberates. So when the mind comes closer and closer to liberation, to freedom, it starts to experience anicca, dukkha, anatta. And where does it first start? Where does the first signs of anicca, dukkha, anatta start? In the breath. That's why we say, what is happening in the breath? Because the physicality of the mind and the breath, the mind and the body, like this, is going to show the anicca, dukkha, anatta. So this is why the booklet has an arrow which is the symbol for anicca. It has a lead ball made of lead. Lead. Lead ball, very heavy. Heavy. And a feather, which is anatta. Anicca, dukkha, anatta. And it will show up first in the breath. So the breathing, the watching of the breath, the awareness of the breath is very important because you're dealing with the mind, the consciousness, and the form, the body, like this. And we want them to eventually, the stickiness, sticky, you know, sticky? The clinging, sticky. Like this. Eventually, by watching, by awareness, like that. It has to come apart. Because always the consciousness wants a form, object. Like, see how fast it is? Moorhen. Blackbirds. Even if you don't say any word, the name is instant. It's like this. Even if you have no name, there's still recognition, which is naming. You know, recognition, to recognize, is still a name. You look at the lake, there's no word for lake. It is a concept, lake. It happens like this. Boom! It's happening like this all the time. Boom, boom, boom. Simon. Boom. I don't even have a name. I don't have to say Simon. It's just Simon. Well, what happens if I go like this? Catherine. If I do that, I go, Catherine, and I'm very, very relaxed, all of a sudden there could be Catherine right there. Because the name will invoke the memory. Do you see? Because I already met you a few times, Simon, I don't need to see you anymore. As long as your hair is done that way and your glasses, right? That's all I need. Maybe one or two things. But if I went, Catherine, or someone said, look, there's Catherine over there, I might actually see Catherine. Especially if, you know how couples are? They start wearing the same clothes. They start looking the same way. You know, or the dog, you know, you look at the dog and go, wow, that looks like the owner, you know? It can happen like that. Or maybe, here, I'll give you an example. Maybe something like this. You put the coat of, put in meditation retreat, you do this. Put the coat of somebody out on a chair. Deep retreat, just the coat or the hat on a rock, and you will see somebody's going to go, and they'll see the person right there. That's all they need is the hat, the clothing, the glove. Or what we should do, you know, we've done this before, it's fun, is you all change clothes, and you dress up like somebody else. It's fantastic. And you'll see what happens. Somebody's going to walk by and say, oh, hi, James, it's going to happen. I once did this when I was working. I worked at a school, and I was in a small community, 10,000 people. And I was known by many people. I was on meetings and committees and, you know, this sort of thing, all the time. So to go to the bank, just to walk to the bank, I went to the back streets because always people would meet me and say, I need to talk to you about, you know, this sort of thing. So I had to go the back streets and go to the bank or the hardware store. All right. So when I finished my job, the day after I finished, I shaved off my beard as an experiment. I took the beard off and the mustache off. I think I took the mustache off too. And I could walk down the street, and people who sat with me in meetings and things did not recognize me. I just walked just like this. It's true, because that's all they needed, was just this. And I did this as an experiment. It was great. I could walk to the bank. I could walk to the hardware store. I could go have a coffee, and I was invisible. It was marvelous. It was marvelous. So, when we talk about Vipassana, insight, we mean anicca, dukkha, anatta. And they begin to be noticed, especially in the breath, in the breathing. Because when the mind is very focused on the breathing, you will begin to start to see change or heavy, heavy, heavy. Very hard to breathe. Stuck. Or the breathing will start to change, and that's going to start to show you that the phenomena of the mind is actually anicca, dukkha, anatta. So we need to turn the mind to anicca, dukkha, anatta, not the phenomena, not the thing. This is very like Heidegger, yeah? Or whom? Heidegger. Or it is not the thing. We're not interested in the thing. I'm not interested in the silk scarf. I'm interested in the activity. I'm interested in all the principle of all phenomena, not the scarf. I don't care about the scarf. Make sense? A little bit? Okay. And say, this weekend is like, introduction. This is very, very vast. Very straightforward, very vast. So now you see number 9, you're getting to start to see this mind and the states of mind. And this experience of mind is a concentrated mind with no thought. Okay, so now you experience the mind of no thought, perfectly concentrated. What's that like? You see? This is important. This is not for insight right now. I go back and forth. Okay. Number 10, gladdening the mind. This, well, this is where I told you breath and mind come together, prana. You now experience that not only is the mind concentrated, it can be energized, made alive. It can be, you can pour energy into the mind through concentration and through awareness. Okay? That the mind is energetic. It's alive. It's, how do I, it is vibrant. I'll use English words. Vivid. Vivid? I like this word. You could look this up. Maybe it's in the dictionary, maybe not. One of my favorite, pellucid. Pellucid. P-E-L? Pellucid? P-E-L, I think. Pellucid? P-E-L. Maybe P-A-L. Pellucid. P-A-L? Yeah, P-A-L.
One L?
Yes.
Pelvis. Pelt. It's not in here. It's too small.
Yeah. You know the word vivid?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Perfectly clear with energy. You start to experience the mind as it is without all the stuff. You know, normally you look and you say, oh, look, it's cloudy. This is the mind stripped of all the clouds. Perfectly bright. Yeah? In its natural state. It's come out from the clouds. Okay? And number 11, concentrating the mind. Now, this concentrating is really no more concepts. Doesn't mean non-thinking, because you're not thinking anymore. There's no thoughts at all. It means there is no subject-object judgment left in the mind. It's just mind. Just mind. No more even stories that there's no thought. It's just completely bare mind. It no longer even needs an object. It's just mind stripped out, broken out, like the sun comes out. Ah, okay, I have analogy, metaphor. You know, you have the sun and you have a beautiful blue sky, yes? Okay, this is the experience of the light, not the sun. How bright the sky is. How absolutely clear the sky is. It has no words. Make sense? No words. Nothing left to even describe. Okay? The word concentrating the mind, yeah. Clarity. The sky is completely clear. And no words can describe it. It's still not liberation, but is really close. It's like right on the edge. You see, I need an orange. Do we have an orange? Ah, oh, perfect. Okay. What is this? It's an orange. Yes, you say it's an orange. Okay. Is it beautiful? Oh, it's beautiful, yes? It's beautiful. See, now you're too clever. Now.
Don't want to say anything.
But you see the orange, and you go, it is beautiful, it is clear, it has light, you describe it, yes? Like in meditation. Bliss, clear, no thought. What do you know of the orange?
Nothing.
Nothing. Just the glow. Like the sun? How many people say, oh, I see the sun? Try that. Well, don't burn your eyes. I see the sun. What do you know about the sun? Nothing. And yet you look at it every day. I see the sky. Never seen the sky. What do you know about? Ah, peony. Do you know anything about the peony? Did you see what I mean? So you look at the orange, and the orange is like, this is called in meditation the peel. You know you have the word, you have peel?
Shala.
Shalen. 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 This is the peel, and the peel in meditation is called bliss, clarity, and no thought. The peel. It's like the protective layer. And if you stay in the protective layer, it's beautiful. It is addictive. It is so lovely because you sniff, you look, you taste. Oh, lovely. But you never get to taste the insight. So insight is this. This is insight meditation. Insight meditation is this. Ah, that's insight meditation. You have to break through the rind. You see, the peel. And it's technically called the rind or the peel of meditation. It's hard to get through because it's so beautiful. But you have not tasted the inside. You have no idea. Dharmakaya. That's Dharmakaya. The core, the pith. That's the hard work, is to open up the fruit. Normally you never open up the fruit because it's too nice. Nice, like a Canadian. Nice Canadian. It's so beautiful, you never know what's inside. So insight, vipassana, is you break open the orange. And you see the arrow? You see on Chenrezig, the arrow. You see the arrow? That's to break open the orange. Shoot the orange. Manjusri? Sword? See the sword? Break open the arrow. Break open the orange. When it's peaceful, peaceful. Om mani padme hum. Om mani padme hum. Peaceful. You want peace. Sometimes you see it turns from rosary. Into whack. Why? Because sometimes you need to wake up. You need to wake up. Not. But bright. Like that. You see? So that is why. So number 12 is wow. Liberating the mind. Liberating the mind. You finally eat the orange. That's it. You taste the orange for the first time. Not the surface, not the outer, but you crack, you open up, liberating the mind. And the Pali word in there is non-clinging awareness, or for non-clinging. I'm not sure which one they use there. But non-clinging. Another way of saying it is liberating is the first experience of Nirodha, cessation of clinging. What is this mind, this experience of consciousness? What is it? What is it? You have to ask that again and again. What actually are you experiencing? What is bliss? What is clarity? What is non-thought? It is the mind, and what's the nature of the mind? What is the nature of experience? That is what number 12 is. So number 12 is where vipassana and tranquility come together. The union. There's no difference anymore. And the mind is seen for what it is. Falls apart. The experience opens up. And then this afternoon, we do fourth tetrad. There are many, many traditions, different methods and lineages and traditions to experience number 12. All kinds of ways. You can look, for instance, at the breath, feel the breath at the nose, until the anicca, dukkha, anatta, one of them, becomes so full that the experience of clinging ceases. It stops. Clinging stops. And the mind, the quality of the real mind, opens up. Yeah? Many different traditions. You see, some of you learnt, I think, the last teaching of Namjo Rinpoche, yes? Mm-hmm. Is one tradition of Dzogchen, and also Mahamudra, is used in Mahamudra too, is the word that cuts through the calm mind. You see? To use that. Sometimes also hung is used. But pei is the strongest sound for breaking through the peel, the peel, the rind of the calm mind. It shatters it. It breaks it apart. For one moment, the mind lets go. So many different methods, many different approaches to allowing the mind to just let go, the clinging, the holding. Sticky. Is your consciousness forming the breath? Or does the breath form the mind? Which one? See, Simon, you were asking that yesterday. Are you controlling all the time? Or are you, are there times when you're controlling the breath, or times when you're behind the breath, naming the breath? In other words, you only notice the breath afterwards. The breath went out, oh, out. Breath went in. Or you start by going out, in. Or can you be there right with it? Right there, right with it. So you have to work very, very hard, but nicely and calmly, to be with the breath and unify with the breath. With the breath, with the breath, with the breath. So what is breath? Yeah, it's also a concept, but it's a sensation. And sensation is where you have to start. It's touch. You could do this meditation by listening, by sound. You could do it by looking. It's very much sometimes in Dzogchen Mahamudra, looking. Very difficult to do, because the seeing is hard. You can do it through tasting. I've never seen anybody describe liberation through tasting. Gourmet, truffles, pâté de foie gras, you know, wine. I could just see that. That's a whole path. Smell. Yeah. But, you know, monastic. Any questions on this? So, to again, just to recap, you have two streams. One is tranquility to train. It says all the way through training, training, training is tranquility. And the other is insight. At number 12, they come together. But, let me tell you but. In the first one, the second, or the third, anywhere in there you can use for insight. If your mind is trained enough. So even in the first tetrad, just by experiencing breath in long, in short, out long, out short, you can use for pure insight meditation, except normally the mind is not calm enough to do it. So all you do is go like this, long, short, long, long, short, short, long. And you do that for 10, 20 years. But it's not trained enough to bring about anicca, dukkha, anatta. This must be understood. It's very, very important. It's not just looking. It's not just experiencing. You have to experience anicca, dukkha, anatta, and then unfold it, ripen it. And this is where you get the word anupassana, means to ripen. If this is closed, it can be closed for 10 years. It has to be ripened, right? The right conditions to open up, to see it. You may have to sing to it. You might have to, it's ripening. You have to sing, you have to open it up, and a study of anicca, dukkha, anatta, and all the meditations of anicca, dukkha, anatta are to ripen insight. One, you train in concentration. Number two, you train in insight. Eventually they come together. Yes?
And emptiness, shunyata, is this linked with anatta?
Yep. Yeah. Actually, it's linked with anicca, dukkha, anatta, any of those three. Okay. All those three are shunyata. Mm-hmm. Another way of saying, when we say the word insight or vipassana, we mean shunyata. It wasn't used when we, at the time of the Buddha, the word shunya or shunyata, shunyata is Sanskrit, shunyata was not really used in this way of meditation, but the Buddha did teach it. But when you come to this method, that word is not so often used, but it does mean exactly the same thing. The experience of vipassana is shunyata, because vipassana is the experience of mind, emptiness, which is shunyata. Non-clinging mind is shunyata. So all comes to the same thing. All comes to the same thing. Different traditions use different terms. I'm giving this very traditionally. Very traditionally. Very traditionally. And you'll see, if you turn to the text, which I know you've read, I may give you this as homework.
I don't think they have the long discourse.
No, do you do?
Yeah. Give the middle.
And long? Just middle? So yes, there are teachings on shunyata. The Buddha gave teachings on shunyata. Yes, it's in the other sutta, the long sutta, where he says, for instance, in the first one, Kaya Nupassana, if you listen very carefully, maybe you'd write this out for people. This is a very good section, the insight section for Kaya Nupassana. So he abides, let me know if there's any words you don't understand. So he abides contemplating body as body internally, contemplating body as body externally. Internal and the body externally. So you don't normally say that, right? My body, this is my body. But actually your body is everywhere. This room is my body. This whole planet is my body. This is my experience, a body. It's profound. Also, it means others' bodies. Internally and externally. This also has to do with the breath. It's very much to do with the breath, the experience of the breath, internal to the breath, external to the breath. Do you notice sometimes you are looking at the breath? Sometimes you will be in the breath. You're in the experience, outside the experience. So, he abides contemplating arising phenomena. Phenomena building. In the body, he abides contemplating vanishing phenomena. Do you see the insight? Arises and vanishes. The breath arises and vanishes. We don't care at this point what the breath is. We only care that there is arising and vanishing. Anicca. Anicca. Insight. In the body, he abides contemplating both arising and vanishing phenomena in the body. What do we mean by vanishing phenomena? In this case, the breath. The breath comes, arises, the breath vanishes. Do you see? That's all. Everything else is a story. The breath is there, the breath is not there. It's easy, isn't it? But it's not so easy to practice. The breath is there, the breath is not there. Can you see it, though, without a story? Or else mindfulness that there is body is present to him just to the extent necessary for knowledge and awareness. You don't need to make this complicated. Just to the extent necessary. Only to what you need to do the work. Not overcomplicated. You don't need to know which muscles do the respiration, right? You don't need to know which muscles. You don't even know how you respire, how you breathe. You don't need to even know that you breathe. All you need to know is to follow rising and vanishing. Arising and vanishing. Because the whole universe arises and vanishes. Germany arises and vanishes. Switzerland arises and vanishes. All countries arise and vanish. Correct? At one time, was Austria called Austria? No. One time, Canada wasn't Canada. Everything arises and vanishes, including when you look. It arises and vanishes. So that is the focus of the meditation for insight. Not that there is a nice breath, not that it feels so good. No. Arising and vanishing. 100,000, 1,000,000 times until it lets go. The clinging lets go. Nirodha. And that's we'll come to number 4, section 4. Okay. Gets faster and faster. Any questions about this? Just so you have no doubts. So I would like to for you to try. Oh, I have class this afternoon. Yes. So, anyways, you have lots of time to meditate between now and the next class at 2:30. I think it's 2:30, is it? Yeah, lots of time. I want you to try focusing on not so much the breath, but see the moment it starts. And the moment it's gone. When you look out, start to see things that start and things that finish. Each wave starts and finishes. Each wave starts and finishes. The duck doesn't just do this, it does this. And it bobs. Do you see? Start, finish, start, finish, start, finish, start, finish, start, finish, start, finish. Everything starts, finishes, starts, finishes, starts, finishes. Finishes. Completely finishes. including the breath. Then we talk about the body. The body vanishes. Have you ever experienced your body vanish? If you were really on about insight meditation, it leads to liberation. Because you know, what do you know? When the body vanishes, there's no body anymore. It goes completely. What does that mean? It was never there. And that's where you should laugh your guts out. Because you'll realize, if you keep doing it, and you see that it's not there. It simply is made up. Including what? The hardest one. What's the hardest one to get at? What's the most difficult? The one that is most difficult. Nope. The concept that the body is self. That's the hardest. You see, I know people, they experience in meditation the complete vanishing of the body, the complete vanishing of states of mind. Vanishing. And they still don't get it. It's like they're looking right at liberation. They go, I got some problems. Or, my body is kind of like, I don't really feel about my body. Didn't you just see that your body was constructed and it's only held together by clinging? That the minute you feel happy, you feel bliss in your body, even if you're in pain? It's illusory. So that's where the insight goes. Because the self is so sticky. It so badly wants to have a self. It wants to have a reference point. It doesn't have a reference point. There is no reference point. How big is your body? Only as big as you feel. Anybody ever felt the size of the earth? Yeah. How about the size of an ant? All of a sudden you can be the size of an ant. Ever have that? Who's ever felt the size of an ant? Yeah, you can put your hand up, it's okay. Okay, put your hand up. Ever felt the size of a big tree? Yeah. What size are you now? Try to feel it. Only the size of the map that's operating right now is the size of your body. Your body can be any size at all depending on the map. Size is illusory. You are an illusory phenomena. How big is your mind? Where is your mind? How big is it? Is it this big? Is it only this big? How big is it? When you look at a sailboat out there, is your mind in here or is it out there? This you have to do. You do it enough, eventually the illusion falls apart. That's called enlightenment. It has to break. But you have to be, see, it's not enough to have an experience. You have to recognize the experience, knowledge. Has to be knowledge. And then the physiology changes. The physiology, right through. You do it again. You have another experience of enlightenment. Through. Just keep getting more confident. Okay? Yes?
Just yesterday, my body vanished.
Yes?
There was just awareness. But then I thought, that's the illusion. So still, I think this is the illusion. And, what you say is illusion is real. So as long as this is, somehow
It's good. So you're having the experience of vanishing. What you want to do is come back to the breath. So you're right there with the breath, experiencing the vanishing of the breath. The vanish over and over and over and over and over again. Then it will get deeper. Because sometimes it's not enough to have the body vanish. It's a cool experience. But what we need is the sensation to vanish and really experience it vanish. That's called anatta or anicca. So that's where you have to get right in with the breath. Every moment, vanishing. Sensation, vanishing. 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 vanishing until the mind lets go. Interesting, eh? So even when you experience the vanishing of your head, you know, you're sitting there in meditation, there's no head, or you cannot feel your legs, they're gone, is not enough. It's only to indicate that it's now beginning to happen. It's beginning to start. So congratulations. So it's beginning to start. Now you want to do it with every moment of breath. Every moment. You could do it like this too. You could. But breath is very profound. The breathing is, the sensation of breathing is very, very direct, very profound. Because it opens up your energies. Really opens up your energies. You know, the other thing, the reason for breathing is life. The clinging to breath is profound. Do you understand? So there's a reason for focusing on the breath, not the finger doing this. Because focusing on the breath is going to bring you to the clinging of being alive, of holding on to life, holding on to being. So it's very, very deep and profound to watch the breath, because you're going to fight to stay, to control the breath. That's why it's fantastic. Breath is like a fight, you know? And you see the consciousness fighting. You know, people say to me, oh, you know, my breath is automatic. Ever heard that? You study that in school. You know, the breath is automatic. It's it's part of the autonomic system, not parasympathetic, autonomic. Are you kidding? Entire breath, how the breath is breathing, is completely how the mind is. When the mind changes, the breath changes, always.
So can you change the breath and so the mind changes?
Yep, yep, that's right. So in yoga, you have pranayama in yoga, or it changes the feel of the mind. But it's still not insight, because you haven't seen what the mind is. But you can change it, for sure. So people do that, right? Mm-hmm. Like kids? Go to your room. No! They're changing their breath, right? Or, they're changing their breath. Everybody's always changing their breath. Everything that a human being does is changing their breath. Everything they do is change of breath. If I pick up this cup, all I'm doing is changing breath. If I look at the peony, I'm changing breath. If I hold a rosary, I'm changing breath. If I say mantras, I'm changing breath. Om Mani Padme Hum is different than I'm not going to become enlightened today, I'm not going to become enlightened today, or I'm not feeling very well, or I'm tired, I'm tired, I'm tired, I'm tired, I'm tired, right? Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. It's changing breath. Mantra is breath. Change the mantra, you change the breath. I'm no good. I'm no good. Just feel that, eh? Say it 100,000 times, okay? I'm no good. This is the mantra of North Americans. I don't know about Europeans, but I'm no good. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm hopeless. So you do this a million times, and what happens? I'm hopeless. Yeah, that's all. You look hopeless. You are hopeless. But you do a mantra. I am a Chenrezig. I am an embodiment of wisdom and compassion. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. You see? Om Mani Padme Hum. You sing a vocal of Bach, yeah? God. You sing it. Your body feels like it. That's all changing the breath. Now what you need to insight is experiencing the coming into being and the vanishing of phenomena. The release of clinging. That's different than saying, oh, I feel good. You don't care about good. You just want to see that vanishing of the body is the letting go of the concept of the mind of what the body is. Do you understand? I need to say this again. The map in the mind about everything is very strong. Peony, flower. Once the map falls away, the clinging falls away, all there is light. Do you follow? There's only light. If you look at the sky, there's no sky. There's only light in the mind. If you say, I have an emotion, I feel sad. Okay? Say it. I feel sad.
I feel sad.
Just feel your body now. I feel sad. You keep doing that, you will not feel sad. You'll feel fantastic. Because all you'll do is experience the energy of the mind or energy of the body. There's no sadness. It's a map. So the map that holds the body as a solid, real entity, right? Call your name out. Say your name. That is the concept holding this image of body together. In meditation, it can vanish because the concept vanishes. The map goes. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. The map slips away in meditation. And what is there? No body. Do you see? You need to do that enough, and especially with the breath, until the clinging breaks apart. It'll happen. So you're getting there. It's a good sign. If you come to me and you tell me, I say, good. Good sign. Keep practicing. Go deeper in the breath. It's good. Question? Okay. So go look at rising and passing away. Moment by moment. It's good. By this powerful activity, may it lead to the cessation of suffering for all beings. Idante punikamang asawakiwang hotu, idante punikamang asawakiwang hotu, idante punikamang asawakiwang hotu. Sabe satasigahantu, may all beings be healthy and happy. May all beings be established in a continuum of freedom, the perfect union of wisdom and compassion.